Thanks for tuning in to Next Level Church Podcast. For more information, please visit our website at nextlevelchurch.net.
Good morning. How's the 10 a.m. service doing? Let me hear you. Yeah. Awesome, awesome. Man, I tell you, your energy is great. It's not a competition, but I would put this service and your energy against any 10 a.m. service around the world. You guys are doing awesome. Thank you for being here. Yeah. Well, today we are kicking off a brand new series, and it is all about the family. Family is something that all of us can relate to. All of us have come from a family. All of us have some semblance of a family. And the truth is, all of our families are imperfect. All of our families have issues. There's a story about a pastor who was visiting a fourth grade Sunday school class, and he wanted to cast some vision and talk to the kids about marriage. And so he goes to the fourth grade class, and he asks the class, "Hey class, what does the Bible say about marriage?" And immediately a fourth grader, a little fourth grade boy, raised his hand, and the pastor called him and said, "Yes, what does the Bible say about marriage?" And the little boy replied, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." Now, I think that is funny, but I think it applies to our families as well. None of us know what we're doing when we get into a family. We have this idea, this picture that, oh, it's going to be great one day. We'll have a family of our own, and it'll be awesome, and we'll have the 2.5 kids and the picket fence and the dog, and everything's just going to be perfect. But the truth is, there are no perfect families. There are no perfect families because there are no perfect people. I cringe every single time I hear someone, mostly moms or dads or grandparents, when they look at a precious newborn baby and they say the words, "He or she is just so perfect. That baby is just so perfect. Mom and dad, you did good. That baby is just so perfect." No, he or she ain't perfect. That little baby came out of the oven with a sin nature. That little baby came out of the oven with imperfections. It may be cute, it may be awesome, but just wait till the first night you try to sleep through the night and tell me if that baby is perfect. Babies are not perfect. In fact, you don't have to teach a baby how to, once it grows up into a kid, you don't have to teach kids how to lie. You don't have to teach them how to steal. You don't have to teach them how to say that's mine or that's not fair. It is literally hardwired inside of us that every single human is imperfect. In fact, little babies hopefully can grow up to greatness and grow up to become great adults. But did you know that every baby that grows up to an adult is going to have to struggle their entire life with their own sin nature? That there's going to be a struggle. It's in every single one of us where we are pulled to do the things that we shouldn't do. All of us are. All of us are imperfect. All of us are broken. And that's why there are no perfect families. In fact, every single picture-perfect family has a behind-the-scenes. In a day and age of social media, it's easy to compare our lives, and we often look at someone's highlight reel, and we compare our behind-the-scenes. But if you look at a picture on Facebook or Instagram, if you look at a picture on social media, it may look picture-perfect, but I promise you, there's a behind-the-scenes that you don't know about. It reminds me of when my twins were born. They're now almost 10 years old. When they were born, my wife prioritized getting pictures taken of them, specifically around major holidays. And we would go to the mall to a place called Picture People. Anyone remember Picture People? Okay, if you've never seen it, if you don't remember it, in the mall, they had this, they had photographers and they had props and they had like background set up and they had a big glass wall so that people walking in the mall could look at you like you were zoo animals. And we would bring the twins around major holidays. And I just want to show you some of these pictures. These pictures, they went over really great, especially on Facebook. People loved watching these pictures. So if you would let me reminisce. Here's a picture from Christmas time. And that is the appropriate response. Thank you. If everyone else could join in that response, it would make me feel good. That is, yeah. I'm a huge Lakers fan, and every Christmas there's a big game, and we actually would bring costume changes for the twins. That they had multiple pictures, and I just want to let you know that this picture turned out great, but it was a lot of work. Like, this is not an exaggeration for humor's sake. This is the honest-to-goodness truth. When I would leave Picture People, I would be drenched in sweat. I would be exhausted. I would tell my wife, "I need a nap." Like, to get two babies to smile at the camera, it was so much work. In fact, after a few times doing this and just how hard it was, we ended up recruiting some help. I want to show you. This picture is from Valentine's Day. Once again, that's the appropriate response. Thank you for leading us in that. Aw. Yeah, this is so cute. Now, I want to tell you, this picture turned out amazing. What you do not see is there were at least 5 adults behind the camera trying to get these babies to smile. We recruited friends to come with us, and then one of our friends was walking in the mall and saw through the window that we were there, and that adult came in. There were 5 adults trying to get these babies to smile, and it was so much work. I want to show you one more because it is probably my favorite. This one was for Halloween, and now, what is difficult to see is that there's actually my son, Hayden, he's in the Cookie Monster costume. He has a tear going down his eye. The fact that we got some semblance of a smile is a miracle of God. They screamed this entire photo shoot. I'm talking screamed, like something was literally wrong with them. It was a miracle that we got anything even remotely cute out of it. And I tell you all that to just say, every single picture that looks perfect, there's a behind the scenes. And the behind the scenes is not as good as the picture. Every family has its own issues. Every family has its own problems. In fact, as the pastor of the church, I want you to know my family's not perfect. So you might be wondering, well, why are you talking about family then if you're not perfect? Well, there are some things that I've learned. There are some things that I've seen modeled from my parents. And there's some things that me and my wife have tried to implement in our family. And we're not perfect. But there are some things that I think are practical that can help any family become better. And what I want you to know is in this series over the next few weeks, you're not just going to hear from me. I'm going to actually bring in some friends because we really want this to be a very practical series. And we're going to talk about blended families and the dynamics of that, because that's a real thing in our families today. We're going to talk about finances because the number one issue in most families, according to statistics, are finances. So we're going to talk about some incredibly practical things. But today, I want to talk to you about something that I do know something about. I'm not perfect in this, but there is something that I have committed to. And I've committed to it before I got married. I've committed to it in marriage. And my wife is committed to it as well. And it's something that we feel has served us really well. We don't have a perfect marriage. We don't have a perfect family. But I would say there's a lot of good things. And every good thing has come from today's big idea. And I want to share it with you. If you're taking notes, I encourage you to write this down. The big idea is a Christian family begins and ends with each member's personal commitment to God. Now, you don't have to be a Christian to watch this series or to be a part of this. You can come check this out. In fact, I think it's amazing that someone who would say, I'm not a Christian or I'm just checking things out, I think it's amazing that you would prioritize church. You're welcome here. We welcome your questions. We don't have all the answers, but we love it that you're exploring and checking things out. But what I want you to know is that what we're looking at and what we're talking about is foundational for those who follow Jesus. So if you're here today and you would say, hey, I'm not a Christian, you don't have to apply what we're talking about. You can just sit back and relax. But if you're here today and you are a Christian, this is incredibly foundational for how to have a healthy and a fully functioning family. The reason this is so important is because every individual is broken. And no other person can fix that brokenness. No other person can complete you. It is a myth to believe if you're single, one day when I get married, that person will complete me. It's a myth. If you're married and you don't have kids, it's a myth to believe if we have kids, it's going to complete our family. No other human being can complete you. I don't know if you've ever seen the movie Jerry Maguire, but it is one of those movies that if it ever comes on television, I'm glued to it and I just watch it because there are so many iconic quotes in that movie. Show me the money is one of the big famous quotes from that movie. But the end scene is probably the most iconic scene from that movie. And if you've never seen the film, minor spoiler alert, Jerry Maguire ends up getting separated from his wife. And he has this big moment in his life where he just wants to reunite with her. And so he comes home, and when he comes home, his wife has hosted a divorce recovery group. It's a bunch of women who are talking about how evil men are and how bad men are. And he walks into the middle of this divorce recovery group, and he delivers one of the most iconic movie speeches in history. Check this out.
We live in a cynical world. A cynical world. And we work in a business of tough competitors. You complete me. And I just had...
Shut up. Just shut up. You had me at hello. You had me at hello.
I absolutely love that line. It is an amazing line. You complete me. It's a great line for movies, but it's not realistic. Another human being cannot complete you. And so many of us aren't happy in life and are not happy in our relationships because we're looking for another imperfect person to complete us. And it's just not possible. It cannot happen. In fact, imagine with me just for a second. If you have two pieces of pottery, and they both have some great things about them, but both of these separate pieces of pottery have a chip broken out of the pottery. If you take those two broken pieces of pottery and you put them next to each other, the broken pieces do not complete to make one perfect piece of pottery. They're still two separate individual broken pieces. The only way to fix the brokenness is to have the master craftsman come in and fix the piece of brokenness on the individual piece of pottery. And then two broken pieces can become whole, and then they can make a whole set. But so many of us are trying to have someone else's broken pieces fit ours, and they don't fit, and they can't fix us. We're all incredibly broken. And that's why our big idea for today is so important. A Christian family begins and ends with each member's personal commitment to God. I want to show you this through our scripture, because this is not just my opinion. This is not just my, you know, advice. This comes from the scriptures, and we believe that the scriptures are our rule book. We believe it's our guidance for how to live. We believe they're inspired by God, and we want to hear what God has to say about this. And so at Next Level, we do something a little bit strange. If you're new, this might be a little bit odd, but just humor us. It's something fun that we like to do. We honor the scriptures by standing to our feet and reading it nice and loud. So I want to invite you to stand to your feet and read with me nice and loud Colossians 2:10. When we get to the reference, Colossians 2:10, we do something a little fun. When we see those two dots, we like to pump our fists and just say dot, dot. It's a weird little fun thing that we do, and we want to invite you to participate with us. Will you read it with me nice and loud? It says, "So you also are complete through your union with Christ, who is the head over every ruler and authority." Colossians 2, dot, dot, 10. Now that we've read the text, let's go to God in prayer. Will you pray with me? God, we come before you, and there is a lot. There's a lot of baggage. There's a lot of stuff to unpack. There can be a lot of hurt that comes from family. And we ask, God, that you would just bring your healing presence, that you would just start to do a work in our own lives. We ask, God, that you would speak to every single one of us, no matter where we're coming from. And God, we ask that you'd give us the courage to obey you, no matter how hard it is. And God, I ask that the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight. Oh, Lord, you are my rock and my redeemer. In Jesus' name, amen. You may have a seat. So I've already said this, but I want to make sure we're all on the same page because it's so foundational for what we're covering in this series. Every single family is broken, and every single family is broken because every single individual is broken. None of us have a perfect family. None of us do. We're all born broken, and two broken people do not make one whole person. If you're here today and you would say that you are a Christian, I want to let you know that the foundation of your faith is living out and applying what Jesus teaches. It's not just going to church. In fact, some of you are here today, and some of your hang-ups with God are because you grew up in a household with imperfect parents who did not live out their teachings of Jesus. And because they were not perfect, and because they may have misused scripture, or maybe because they were legalistic, you have a hard time relating to God. And there's some of you that you have not recovered, even though you're an adult, you have not recovered from the brokenness that your parents instilled in you. But I just want to tell you that every single one of us, no matter what kind of broken home we may have come from, all of us can find healing. My mom did not grow up in a Christian home. In fact, my mom grew up in a very dysfunctional home. It was a home where her parents fought regularly, and they often would have the threat of divorce, and they would play their kids against one another. They would make their kids choose sides. It was incredibly unhealthy. But when my mom was a little girl, she got invited to go to church, and at the church she met Jesus, and then she decided to dedicate her whole life to following after Jesus. And when she went to college, she said, I'm not just going to date anyone. I want to date someone that follows after God. And my dad did grow up in a Christian household. And so my mom and dad, they meet, and they both were Christians, and they said, when we have kids, we're going to raise our kids in a Christian household. Now, my parents weren't perfect, but the thing they did that was so amazing is they prioritized God in our family. We went to church together. I saw them read the Bible. I saw them pray. It was modeled for me at my house. My wife did not grow up in a Christian home. Her parents are incredible people. They're great people. We love them. They are great grandparents to our kids. But my wife had to learn what it means to follow Jesus in the family. And the way that she learned it is that when she went away to college, she stayed with godly Christian families who modeled for her what it looks like to live for God in your household and what it looks like to prioritize God in your house. And I just say that to say, no matter what your background is, no matter how much brokenness you bring to the table, you can learn how to make Jesus a priority. Look at what our text says. This is written by the Apostle Paul. He's a primetime player. He wrote this to some of the Christians living in an area called Colossae, and this is the Colossians letter, and Paul writes, and now, just as you accepted Christ Jesus as your Lord, you must continue to follow him. Let your roots grow down into him, and let your lives be built on him. Then your faith will grow strong in the truth you were taught, and you will overflow with thankfulness. This is so important for us. If you're here today and you are a Christian, what you need to know is that Paul says, if you've accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, that's great. But that's the starting point. That's not the ending point. That's where you start. And when you start there, you must continue to follow him. And the way that you continue to follow God is you allow your spiritual roots to grow. You've got to do things that help inspire you and help you to grow in your relationship with God. This actually echoes something that Jesus said in Jesus' own words. Look at what he said in Matthew 7, 24 through 27. Jesus said, therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine and puts them into practice is like a wise man who built his house on the rock. Can you smell what the rock is cooking? The rain came down, the streams rose, and the winds blew and beat against the house, yet it did not fall. Because it had its foundation on the rock. But everyone who hears these words of mine and does not put them into practice is like a foolish man who built his house on the sand. The rain came down, the streams rose, and the winds blew and beat against the house, and it fell with a great crash. For a Christian, our foundation is not another person. Our foundation is not our jobs. Our foundation is not who's in the office in the White House. Our foundation is not our money. Why? Because all of that stuff is imperfect and all of that stuff can fail us. Jesus said that the foundation of our faith is not just believing in him, but putting what he says into practice. That's the foundation of our faith. That when we live out what Jesus teaches, it gives us a foundation that when the storms come, our life doesn't fall apart. Did you know that you can be a Christian and still go through hard times? Just because you love Jesus does not mean that you're not going to go through difficulties. All of us are going to go through difficulties in life. And Jesus says, when the storms come, what's your foundation? If your foundation in your life, in your happiness, is built on another imperfect person, when storms come, the whole house falls down because no human can withstand the storm because we're all imperfect, we're all faulty. But if your foundation is something that is perfect, if your foundation is something that cannot be corrupted by sin, it cannot fall when life gets hard, then when you go through the storm, you can actually stand tall. Please hear me on this. If your foundation is another human being, you will constantly be disappointed. If your foundation of your faith, please hear me on this. If your foundation on your faith is your parents, you will constantly be disappointed. If your foundation of your faith is a significant other, a boyfriend, girlfriend, or a husband or wife, you will constantly be disappointed. If your foundation is your pastor, you will constantly be disappointed. If your foundation is any human being, you will be disappointed because human beings cannot meet all of our needs. They're imperfect and we're imperfect. So please hear this with as much love as I can possibly muster. If you're a wife, would you please stop putting pressure on your husband to be the missing piece to your emotional needs? He can't do it. He can try his best. He can work on becoming better. But you have some emotional needs that he cannot, even on his best days, he cannot meet every single one of your emotional needs. And some of you are punishing your husbands because they're not meeting every single one of your needs. And can I tell you, he wasn't meant to meet all your needs. Jesus was. And some of you husbands are punishing your wives because you desire respect and you want them to be your biggest cheerleader and you don't feel like they encourage you the way that you are wired to be encouraged. And I hope wives will work on and will work on encouraging their husbands. But can I just tell you, your wife's not meant to meet every single one of your needs. She can't. She's imperfect herself. So stop asking another human being to fill your brokenness because you'll constantly be disappointed. Jesus, though, is so much different. And if you're here today and you're a kid, can I just speak to you just for a second? If you're a kid, your parents are imperfect. And I hope that your parents are doing the absolute best that they can. But your parents, it's hard to be a parent. And I know it's hard to be a kid, but it's really hard to be a parent. It's hard to know how to make the right decisions. And sometimes we make mistakes. And some of you need to give your grace. As the kid, you need to give your parents a little bit of grace. Because they're not trying to ruin your life. They're trying the best that they possibly can. But I want you to hear this. You need to grow up making your faith your own. Because your parents will constantly disappoint you if you try to find your happiness in them. Put your happiness, put your trust, put your foundation in Jesus. I want to say this with as much love as I can muster. But it's hard to love Jesus with your whole heart when you only give him an hour on Sunday. The reason that our big idea is so important is because if Jesus is your foundation, you've got to spend time with him more than just an hour on Sunday. Your foundation for your relationship with God cannot be the only thing that I deliver. If the only spiritual foundation you're getting is my sermon, you're going to have a weak foundation. The way that we build our families is that each one of us individually spends time with God. Each one of us gives God our heart. Each one of us allows God to change us. And then we come together as a family. Look at what the scripture goes on to say. This is Paul writing, Colossians 2, 8 through 9. Don't let anyone capture you with empty philosophies and high-sounding nonsense that come from human thinking and from the spiritual powers of this world, rather than from Christ. Now, I am all for learning. If you're a regular at Next Level, you know that I often quote counseling and psychology, and I believe that if it is truth, it is God's truth, even if it doesn't come from a Christian. I think it is incredibly important for us to read and to learn. And I am amazed at how many people are in dating relationships or marriage relationships or family. And they're not reading a book or they're not learning how to do it. It is so tough. I am all for learning. I think all of us need to be continual learners. But I want to make sure that you hear this. Paul says the starting point for learning is Jesus. And oftentimes when life gets broken, we say, well, maybe let me go to a counselor. Let me go to a TED Talk. Let me go to some psychologist to give me answers. And all that stuff can help. But if your foundation is not built in Jesus, it's going to fall apart. So before we go and say, what does anyone else say? We've got to start with Jesus and say, hey, Jesus, what do you say? How should I live my life? How should I forgive this person who hurt me? How should I deal with this person that's not meeting my needs? Jesus, what should I do? I obey and I start with you first. And then I look to other things to help supplement it. But our foundation is found in Jesus. And can we just be real for just a second? Even if you're a Christian here, it is way too easy to neglect your spiritual life. It is. It's just way too easy to go through the motions. And we've got jobs and we've got family and we've got stress. And it's just way too easy to neglect things like prayer and neglect things like reading the Bible. And neglect things like serving. It's a big part of the Christian life is serving others. It's easy to neglect all of that stuff. In fact, I know that 2020 was a hard year for a lot of people. It wasn't hard for everyone. Some people had great 2020s. But if 2020 was hard for you, I want you to hear it. You're not alone. 2020 in a lot of ways was very difficult for me and for my family. I've been married to my wife for 20 years. And I won't speak for her. I will just say that for me, in our 20 years of marriage, this last year was the most challenging that we've had yet. And one of the main reasons why it was challenging is because this pandemic entered a whole bunch of new things into our life. I had never led a church through a pandemic before. I was dealing with extra stress of, do we cancel services and just go online? Do we go back in person? When do we go back in person? Like, all this stuff was new to me. No one trained me how to do this. and I have an amazing staff and team that helped with it, but I was bringing a lot of stress home. At the exact same time, my wife is a teacher, and no one taught her how to be a teacher during a pandemic. And so she's dealing with all this extra stress and all this extra workload, and we both were coming home empty. And when we were coming home empty and broken, we weren't meeting each other's needs. And we had multiple conversations on how to try to fix it, and we didn't agree on what the answer was. And so we would talk, and it would just kind of end, and we would just move on, and we would go through another day, and it wasn't level 10. No one was saying, hey, we need a divorce. It just was broken, and we didn't know the answer. We didn't know how to fix it, and it went on for months. At some point in the summer, my wife leans over to me and says, you know what I really miss? I really miss the fact that we used to pray together. For 15 years in our marriage, we prayed every night before we went to sleep. But then, you know, kids come along and life gets busy and I fall asleep as soon as my head hits the pillow. So like, it's not that I'm trying to neglect it. I fall asleep. And she said, you know, we've been going on now 5 years where I know we're praying as individuals, but we're not praying together. And so we started prioritizing praying together. And what's amazing is the problems didn't go away, but our bond got closer. And God never gave us the solution to fix the issues, but we just stopped fighting about them. And we found ourselves being drawn closer together. And then we had a conversation where we said, you know, in our first few years of marriage, we always did Bible studies together, or we read books together to help strengthen our marriage. And we haven't done one of those in a long time. And so we both read the Bible separately, but we said, hey, let's bring this together into our marriage relationship. And we started doing Bible studies through YouVersion. It's an amazing app. It's a free app. And I want to show you a picture of what it looks like. I would encourage you to download this in the App Store. You don't have to, but no matter what kind of smartphone you have, it's available. And it is, the icon looks like the Holy Bible, but it's called YouVersion. And in YouVersion, there's a bazillion devotions that will help you spend some time with God every single day. There's devotions on finances, on dating, on addiction, on divorce, on marriage. And my wife and I started prioritizing doing a devotion together. And the amazing thing is even if we didn't get a chance to talk to God, I would do my devotion individually. And at the end of it, because we did it together, there was a section where we could talk about what we're learning. And I would share what I learned. And then later when she would answer it, I would see what she would learn. And we ended up being bonded because we were reading the same thing and going in the same direction. And I just say that to you with all humility and transparency to say, marriage is hard. Family is hard. And in life, it's so easy that when life gets hard, it's so easy to start neglecting our spiritual lives. But that's why our big idea is so important, that a Christian family begins and ends with each member's personal commitment to God. What's going to get you through the difficult season? What's going to get you through the difficult time? If it's anything other than a perfect creator, I'm telling you, that foundation will fall. In fact, look at what Paul says in Colossians 2:10. He says, "For in Christ lives all the fullness of God in a human body." What Paul is saying is that Jesus wasn't just a man. Jesus wasn't just a prophet. Jesus just wasn't a good guy. That Jesus came as a human, but he was God. He had all the power of God living inside of him. And we know this because he died on a cross, and then 3 days later, he rose again. So look at what he says next. And this next part is underlined. Would you humor me and would you just read this out loud? It says, "So you also are complete through your union with Christ, who is the head over every ruler and authority." So because Jesus is God, when you make your foundation Jesus, Paul says you are complete. So no, Jerry Maguire, your wife does not complete you. Your kids do not complete you. Your job does not complete you. Your finances or your money do not complete you. All that stuff can help. But the only thing that can complete a broken person is something perfect. And the only perfect person ever to live is Jesus. So this takes us to our win. And our win is simply what we do with this. And I want to encourage you to take a picture of this or to write this down. Jesus' brother James said, "Do not merely listen to the word and so deceive yourselves. Do what it says." And the foundation of the Christian faith is not just listening to a sermon. It's not just nodding your head and saying that was good. It is doing what the scripture says. So our win today is there an area you have slacked in spiritually? I was transparent with you. I shared with you. It's human nature. We slack. But starting today, would you prioritize God first? Now, I know there's a million things we could do, but would you just pick one? For some of you, the priority is spending time with God. For some of you, the priority is getting into the Bible and reading it. For some of you, it is praying. You've neglected that. For some of you, it is just going to church because your church attendance has been so spotty. I don't know what it is for you, but would you just quietly talk to God and say, hey, God, what is that one thing that you want me to work on? And I want to give you a second just to simply speak to him, and I want to encourage you to do whatever he says. So with every head bowed and every eye closed, is there one area you've slacked in spiritually? Starting today, prioritize God first. And would you just quietly talk to God in your heart? Would you just quietly say, hey, God, what is that one area? What do you want me to work on? God, we thank you that you can hear our prayers, but not just that you hear them, but that you can answer. So we ask that you would give us what we need, which is ultimately you. Would you forgive us for the times that we've slacked off, for the times that we've prioritized other things? And God, would you be our foundation? Would you be the thing that helps fix the brokenness so that we can have wholeness in our relationships? We thank you for what you're going to do, not just today, but throughout this series. And we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.
We hope you've enjoyed today's sermon. If you would like to hear more, please visit our website at nextlevelchurch.net. You can also follow us on social media at Next Level 757. Join us next time.